Matt Stepp, I've just returned from the land of Canada, and I guess my question is it always 80 degrees year round?
Yeah, sure. Come to Canada in February.
Tep and Step, your ultra premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
You're the one who puts the ultra in the ultra.
Oh, thank premium. You. Thank you. Is this the most premium Texas high school football podcast out there?
I would say that because
the most
of,
premium?
I would say because of us and the addition of our producer, Vianney Moreno, that this is as ultra premium as it gets. It's like when you go to the gas station, mm-hmm. and they've got like the regular unleaded and then like the premium, whatever they call it, premium
93 grade,
yeah,
but 94 ultra 94,
like super, yeah. You know what I mean?
We're the ultra 94 of Texas high school football podcasts.
That's right. Flammable, smell bad. Mm-hmm. Good in your car. That's okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it works. Let's go.
This is your 2025 Texas State 7-on-7 Preview Edition of Tep and Step. We do appreciate you being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or waiting until Wednesday to watch this for free like freeloaders. Mm-hmm. But let's make sure we give some more shine to Vianney Moreno, our producer, who's making us sound good. Hi, Vianney Moreno.
Hey, guys.
You good? Hey, Vianney.
You good? Is it weird that we all wore white?
A little.
It's the summer. It's hot.
It is hot. It's very hot.
I think we look great in white.
And it's going to be hot in College Station.
That point,
okay.
I have checked the forecast and put it in our very exclusive Slack chat of all the College Station people. Thursday's high, 90. Now this is as of 4 o'clock on Monday.
So it can change.
It can change. Yes. As of now, I'm praying to God I don't jinx it here. But 4 o'clock Monday. The forecast. Thursday, College Station, high 90.
You'll take that. That's a win.
Friday, 94.
It's a B minus.
And Saturday, 94.
B minus.
So overall.
Yeah, A, B minus, B minus.
There have been weekends where all 3 days were triple digits.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It so, can be. So 90, 94, 94. Win.
You will.
Dub.
You will 100%.
And like a rainstorm out of nowhere.
Well, that's like once every 15 years.
Yeah.
Like,
that happened last year. That was my first.
It was the rainstorm of all rainstorms last year.
A complete washout.
It rained as hard for that hour.
It was raining sideways.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was raining sideways.
It was crazy. It's your State 7-on-7 Preview Edition of Tep and Step. We've kind of set the table for you if you've been watching our programming over the last week or so of like what 7-on-7 is and like why you should pay attention to it. But now we get to dive in, and we are going to get very, very nerdy about the State 7-on-7 tournament.
Hudson Standish is rubbing his hands together as he's driving to College Station listening to this.
This is among – there's not a ton of things that we can claim to be like – the most nerdy about, because there's plenty of other great podcasts out there that dive into high school football, sure. and stuff like that. Yeah. We know our stuff, but they know their stuff as well.
Yeah.
I am confident in saying this is the nerdiest podcast about 7-on-7.
Yeah, for sure. But the good thing, we're officially welcome to the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
The season has started for Tep and mm-hmm. Step because we have 7-on-7 today, this month. Next month we're at coaching school.
Yeah,
and then basically after that it's season previews.
Then it was
the off season is over.
It is
chunking the deuce to the off season. It's time for the season.
It is time. It's football time in Texas,
right? Football pants are just going crazy right now.
Let's start with this. For people who are maybe going to 7-on-7 for the first time, like Vianney Moreno did last year, mm-hmm. going to 7-on-7 for the first time there in College Station, we'll give you some tips and tricks. It's at Veterans Memorial Park.
Yes, very nice park.
In College Station. Mm-hmm. College Station, Bryan College Station?
So the border, our hotel last year is mm-hmm. Across the street is in Bryan. The Hilton Garden Inn is in Bryan, but the fields are in College Station.
Oh, I never knew that.
The dividing line of the city is literally the middle of that of
is
University
that
Drive.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's at Veterans Memorial Park. It's going to be kind of sprawled out across the entire park.
Big soccer park. Big soccer, yeah. Softball park. You know, it's a big giant.
And there'll be, is it 24 fields or 18 fields?
There's they'll have 8 full fields going on, 2 games on each field.
Yeah, so 16 games at a time,
correct.
Can be going on.
That's correct.
And so I am curious, as a guy who is an expert in this field, of attending 7-on-7, not necessarily who's going to win, but attending 7-on-7.
Yeah, trying to pick 7-on-7, good luck.
I am curious to know what advice you would give to first-timers who are heading to the Brazos Valley.
If you're planning on staying for the entire day, especially Friday is the marathon.
Friday's the beast.
Thursday and Saturday aren't too bad. But if you're going to go out there and you're saying, I'm going to go stem to stern, you know, rooter to tooter on Friday, mm-hmm. The first thing is eat a big breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water. Now there's water available.
Lots of water.
But drink a lot of water.
Bring your own like refillable water bottle.
Yeah, and you can get water. Yeah.
Yes.
For free. Comfy chair. So mm-hmm. your nice beach chair, whatever. But make sure it's easily movable because you want to move from field to field. And then a lot of sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and finally, a big dumb hat.
A big dumb hat.
You have to have a big dumb hat.
You really do.
I will take a picture for you, V&A.
I would also say this.
Love the big dumb hat.
Yes. Like, obviously,
I bought a new one this year, too.
Most people are going to be going for one team. They're going to be supporting one particular
team. Sure.
That's the majority. There are going to be some people who are out there that are just like nerds that want to go out there and see the whole thing.
There are some. There's a couple of guys that I've seen out there every year. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognize that guy. He's a mm-hmm. football nerd. He is my people.
Mike, what I would suggest to you, because if you're rooting for a team, they are going to stay on the same field mm-hmm. and they are going to play basically one on, one off throughout the course mm-hmm. of pool play. Don't move. If you don't have to. Like, I think you're going to be tempted to be like, oh, my team's not playing right now, but there's an awesome game on another field. I don't think that risk is worth it. I would say there's going to be good football on the field in front
sure.
of you.
Yeah.
If you're there for one team,
you got your camp set up.
Park and yeah. just be good right there. Get up if you got to use a bathroom, obviously, stuff yeah. like that. But like, I would say you don't. The field and the park is so sprawling yeah. that I cannot in good conscience recommend you chase good games.
Yeah, I would say just yeah.
that's hard.
Yeah, just pick a field. You can pick two. You know, if you're a general fan, pick one or two fields. You mm-hmm. know, and
yeah,
and, you know, just kind of stay. You know. Stay somewhat stationary.
You'll be able, yeah, you'll be able, if you park maybe between two fields, there's going to be four games basically mm-hmm. within eyesight mm-hmm. of you.
Yep.
You can find, there's going to be a good game
yeah.
of those four yeah. at all times.
Absolutely.
So, but drink water.
Yeah, drink water. Parking can be an issue, especially on Friday. A lot of people, mm-hmm. it's a lot. You'd be surprised how many people show up for this event. I mean, parking can get challenging. So, you know, give yourself time to park and get in there and get in and out of there. But it's a blast. Like I've always said, this is, you know, as a Mexican food aficionado, this is the chips and salsa, mm-hmm. chips and salsa to the Texas high school football season. This is the initial, mm-hmm. you know, if the chips mm-hmm. and salsa are good, you know, the restaurant's going to be good. The 7-on-7 is good. It's going to be a great football season.
And coaching school is the tequila. This,
yeah, literally.
So let's now get roll. Why are you nodding so furiously?
V&A is nodding way too. She is agreeing
wow, she
way too hard.
Really excited about that.
She is excited about San Antonio.
Okay. So now we're going to dive into the 7-on-7 tournament and what to expect. You can find everything you need at texasfootball.com/7-on-7.
So much content.
The official site of the state 7-on-7 tournament, not to mention all of our content on top of like the nitty gritty of like who's on what team and or who's in yeah. what pool and
we
stuff.
We got information. We got analysis. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what time your teams are playing, we got the times.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what fields yet. The fields will be set. Well, you know, but that document is live. So yes. you can just bookmark that page with the pools and those fields as they get set, we'll get updated. So.
And so we're going to start. We're going to go largest divisions to smallest division. We're going to start with Division 1. Okay. Division 1, 6A, 5A, and the big private schools. And there is one this year. Oh, the only private school of all.
No, two. There's two. There's one in Division 2, Midland Christian.
Oh, Midland Christian. I'm sorry. I reported that wrong on TFT today.
Okay.
Yeah. It so happens. Midland.
Damn it, Temper, you're not perfect.
Argyle Liberty Christian.
Darn.
The illusion is broken. Argyle Liberty Christian, the only private school in Division 1. This is also the big boy bracket in the sense that there are 64 teams, and there's something to play in pool play for everyone, mm-hmm. but the stakes are much higher
Correct.
In Division 1 because otherwise you can play yourself out of a championship in pool play.
Correct, yeah. And you can see some teams who have a tough first day. They're very disappointed. They come back on Saturday for consolation bracket. They are one and done. They mm-hmm. are ready to go home.
They are, yeah, so, they're not
yeah,
excited.
Yeah, this informational pool eight pools A through H will play Friday starting at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then pools I through P, their first game will be at 1:45
You can find all the pools on our website, yep. texasfootball.com. We'll also flash them up on the screen whenever we get an opportunity to. You can see them. So I've got a couple of questions for each and a couple kind of categories for each of these divisions. We'll start, I think, with the one question we have every year, which is the pool of doom, which is all these pools, if you didn't know, they are not technically random in the sense that the 7-on-7 committee does like there to be geographic diversity as best they can.
Yeah, so basically they do four pots. Mm-hmm. They have you have a Dallas pot, you have a Houston pot because of the number of teams. Now, sometimes there's more than 16 teams from Dallas, but then you basically have two pots with kind of everyone else. You know, they'll group the Austin schools together, you know, and the West Texas, East Texas schools. So there's four pots, and you look at, there's a couple of pools with like two Dallas teams or two Houston teams, but for the most part, there's a Dallas team, a Houston team, and then you have two teams from other parts of the state.
Right. And they're
more fun to go to state 7-on-7 and play people for example, like Cy Lakes. Cy Lakes does not want to go to state 7-on-7 and play Bridgeland.
No.
They play them all the time. Like they want to go play other people.
And I'll tell you what, like, for example, in my opinion, a pool we may be talking about in a minute, there are pools that, like, I think perfectly encapsulate what a pool should be. I'll look at pool C, for example. Pool C, Anna, DFW, Humble, Houston, Pebble Hills, El Paso, Vista Ridge, Austin. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. It should be four teams from vaguely across the state.
Yeah.
And so they are not technically random in the sense that they put their thumb on the scale to give geographic diversity. But other than that, these are essentially like blind draws.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's always a pool of doom, which is the toughest pool in the division. What is your pick for the pool of doom?
This is tough. There's two or three candidates in Division One.
I would agree.
I'm going to go pool O.
Okay.
You have Austin Anderson, last year's runner-up. Let's not forget Austin Anderson was the runner-up last year. Mm-hmm. They're back. Yaheem Riley, Caleb Crenshaw, really good team. Shadow Creek, loaded with talent. Chris Stewart, Texas committed receiver. They're absolutely loaded. Shadow Creek, fun to watch. South Oak Cliff, first ever state 7-on-7 appearance. We know how low they are, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, that matchup against Shadow Creek with Chris Stewart going against the South Oak Cliff secondary, chef's kiss right there. Those three teams headline a really good pool. Laredo LBJ, first timer, congrats. They're the Wolves, and they got thrown into the Wolves in this pool. But this is a brutal pool. But I love pool O. I think pool O is going to be a ton of fun.
Pool O will be fantastic. I'm not going to be any sort of hipster here. I'm going to go brand name shopping here. Pool D is my pool of doom. Okay? You look at DeSoto, the defending state champs in 7-on-7 Division One,
the most decorated Division One 7-on-7 team out there.
They will play in pool play a team they played in a regional semifinal last two years in Willis, who will have one of the most, if not the most, electrifying player in the tournament in the two-way superstar, Jermaine Bishop.
We could get Jermaine Bishop covering Ethan Feaster.
In 7-on-7.
Yeah.
This weekend. On Friday.
Where do I sign up for
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Then you've got, by the way, Alamo Heights, a team that has some holes to fill, but we know that they are no stranger to having exceptional skill talent, and their defense, I think, is going to be really fun to watch and an opportunity to really, I think, steal the show in this pool. And then, by the way, I don't throw dirt on Midway.
No, Lathan Wisenson is a great running back.
I think they are loaded with talent. I think they are going to be out there. They are a program that is going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder because there's going to be a lot of talk about the big boys from the big cities. Mm-hmm. And here they are in outside Waco. I think Midway has an opportunity to be fantastic too. I think top to bottom, Pool D may be the most high-profile district or pool. And there's going to be a lot of really good football there. Now, I want to go kind of a little off the board. Give me an under-the-radar pool, one that people may not necessarily be drawn to, but you're interested in.
Pool K.
Okay.
I love the quarterback play in Pool K. You've got Joe Castles from Wichita Falls Memorial, the 6'7" gunslinger there for the Mavericks, making their second straight state 7-on-7 appearance. You've got Waller, led by T.K. Gaines, the unbelievable sophomore quarterback who played outstanding as a freshman last year. Waller's got all 11 starters back on offense. And don't forget about Trey Williams, the junior signal caller for Louisville, who threw for 19 touchdowns as a sophomore last year. The quarterback play alone in Pool K. And then Mercedes, I saw them. They're a good little 7-on-7 team. They're going to be fun to watch. Pool K, a lot of fun. And again, you've got DFW, the Rio Grande Valley, Houston, Wichita Falls. What a cross-section of the state of Texas in this pool.
That's a good pick. I might go for Pool H. Okay, Pool H really catches my eye for a couple of reasons. And there's not a lot of, I would say, big brand names here, but there's a lot of reason to pay attention to what's going on here. First of all, I'm very interested in watching San Antonio East Central, especially San Antonio East Central on the defensive side. They're going to have a couple of guys like Braylon Blair and Gabriel Chavarria, who I think are going to be really important to their defense in the fall, and I want to see how they match up against some teams that, by the way, do have some star power. If you are unfamiliar with the work of Bastrop, they're a team we are going to be talking about a lot.
Weston Nielsen at quarterback.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Weston Nielsen is a dude. They've got Brent Carter out wide, who's a real matchup problem. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I add in a team. You keep looking there. I think you look at Lake Highlands, always a very high variance team. And then A-Leaf Taylor. Taylor's a team that last year's record is not going to impress you. They went 1-9, but I know they're really encouraged about the young stars they've got coming up. And you want to talk about a team that could show up with something to prove?
Mm-hmm.
I think Pool H is going to have some fun matchups here within pool play that is going to make that worth paying attention to. That, again, doesn't have those big sexy names like Travis's of the world.
Yeah, all
the
DeSoto's. When I wrote the preview for this pool, the three of the four teams are making either their first appearance at State 7-on-7 or their first in like 20 years.
Yeah.
And then East Central, they're in it for the second straight year, but they've never been before. So these are all kind of newcomers.
It figures to be really fun. I'm excited to see what happens there in Pool H. All right, next category. A player you're excited to watch. This can be for any reason. Mm-hmm. A player you are excited to watch.
I'm going to go with there's several, obviously.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
I've seen a lot of these
and,
guys.
And I'll tell you, this is going to be the time, especially when Greg Powers and Mallory Hartley, they're going to be flying recruiting between fields.
Yeah, Big Crute and Little Crute are going to be rolling.
There's a lot of recruits out there.
I'll go with the kid I haven't seen yet this summer. Okay. I'm going to go Pflugerville Weiss wide receiver Trey Moore. Talking about a guy who's got offers from Alabama, Arizona State, Baylor, Houston. I mean, he's got offers from just about everyone. 6'4", 200-pound outside receiver. Looking forward to watching him play for the Pflugerville Weiss Wolves.
Good pick. Good pull. There's obviously tons of talent. An opportunity that I think where the Dave Campbell's Texas football team is going to have an opportunity to lay eyes on. How about Jude Walker at El Paso Eastwood?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A dynamic playmaking dude who, by the way, plays all three phases of the game for them. So they're not going to play special teams in this field.
No, turning kicks.
But offense and defense, he's going to be on the field a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know about how El Paso Eastwood treats 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
They treat this as an audition, as basically it's like, we are here and you are going to have to deal with us down the road. They want to match up. And guys like Jude Walker, I think, are going to take that as an opportunity to really shine. I think they know that there's going to be a lot of high-profile prospect hounds out there. And Jude Walker's got an opportunity to make a name for himself.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited to see what he does kind of on what's going to be a really big stage. The next category, Matthew. A team we'll learn a lot about. This is my favorite part of 7-on-7,
mm-hmm,
is finding out about what teams are going to look like in the fall. Like, yes, winning a 7-on-7 belt is awesome, and you should try to do it. And also, for me, the value is, what does this mean for these teams moving forward? So who's the team that you feel like we're going to learn a lot about this year?
In my opinion, I would go with... This is tough. This is a good question. I've got three or four options here. I'm going to go Katy Jordan.
Okay.
You lose Andrew Marsh. You lose a veteran quarterback from their best team in school history last year, going to the third round of the playoffs. Very interested to see what Katy Jordan looks like. Tanner West is back. He's a great athlete. Want to see what the quarterback situation looks like, and want to see if this Katy Jordan team is able to continue their upward ascent in the Houston area.
I'm going to go Central Texas. I want to learn a lot about the Hippos of Hutto. I want to learn what's going on. New coach Eli Reinhart taking over a program that I think they're ready for a jolt, but they have a lot of questions. They have a lot of questions, including what the quarterback's going to look like, the receivers. This is a there's a makeover going on in Hutto. And for those who don't know, you can't like the head coaches are not going to be coaching the teams, but they will be there. And my guess, dollars to donuts, is Eli Reinhart's out there watching his boys.
Oh, he'll be in.
He'll be locked in.
Yeah.
I am interested to see what that means right now. Where that this is a temp check mm-hmm. on them, and how well what can we expect for them in the fall? Because there's a universe in which things click. And they are suddenly kind of in the mix there in that district. So I'm excited to see what happens with the Hippos of Hutto. All right. Give me your sleeper, a team that you think can win it all that maybe you're not looking at.
How about the Dons of Amarillo?
Ooh, Matthew.
This is a team that's got 5 or 6 Division I guys mm-hmm. on it. Like, they are legit talented. Deuce Reese at quarterback. They got the DB who just committed to UNLV. They've got 4 or 5 other guys who are potential Division I players. They don't mind traveling. They went to Tyler and qualified. And for those of you who don't know, look at a map and find Amarillo and then find Tyler. You'll see not exactly close.
Correct.
Travel doesn't bother them. No one's going to take them very seriously. They got all those guys from the north side of Amarillo. They're not going to be any good. Watch out for the Paladuro Dons. If you're wanting to take a flyer on a sleeper or you're a neutral and you want a team to root for the Dons.
That's certainly a sleeper. My sleeper has a lot of those same characteristics, which is, I think, a team people are going to overlook because of who they are, and a team that I think people but has the talent to do it. Argyle Liberty Christian can win the 7-on-7 tournament.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got the quarterback in Quinn Murphy. They've got the superstar do-it-all athlete in Cooper Witten. They are loaded.
Yes.
Okay? They are a loaded ball club. Has a private school team? That's a question that is knowable that I don't know. Do you know off the top of your head if a private school team's ever won state 7-on-7, or at least has lately?
No, never won it. Mm-hmm. Houston, there was a private school team in Division II that got to, I think it may have been St. Pius, may have got to the championship game at one point, but then no private school's ever won it.
They can do it. They are loaded with talent. And I think that in that same vein, they are a team that I think people are like, oh, it's the private school team. You know, mm-hmm. We don't worry about them. I think they have the juice. And they've got an opportunity, I think, to make some real noise out there okay. at 7-on-7. But give me your champion. Give me your pick okay. to click. These are non-binding. 7-on-7 produces some weird results.
It does at times, yeah.
But
also you get DeSoto.
You also get DeSoto, which is like basically like going wire-to-wire number
that's
one.
That's picking Duke.
Correct.
Know,
yes.
So. picking Duke in the bracket.
Give me your...
I did last year.
Give me your state champion.
Give me the Woodlands.
Okay.
They've got Jack Dalton at quarterback, the TCU commit.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a veteran secondary, Ballhawks, who make turnovers, they make plays. They've had a lot of success in state 7-on-7 before. Give me the Woodlands.
I'm not going to overthink this, okay? Lake Travis.
Okay.
Okay? Like, a team that is no stranger to being excellent at 7-on-7, a team whose offense is largely... Like, they can go out there and basically run their base offense. Mm-hmm. So these guys are super, super comfortable in what they're doing. They've been here before. They've played deep before recently. And, by the way, I think they've got Van Hopping. They've got a couple receivers like Patrick Colby out there. The question is going to be at the quarterback spot. Yep. And another team that we're going to find out a lot about what they're going to do at quarterback.
Yeah.
If they've got a quarterback, Lake Travis is going to be the team to win it. But we'll find out real quick whether or not they're there.
A couple other teams just to kind of keep an eye on that are possible favorites, other than DeSoto.
Sure.
We talked about them. We talked about Hutto a little bit. I think Harker Heights.
Mm-hmm.
They have not lost a game in 7-on-7 in SQ. They're 13-0 in SQTs this year.
Jeez.
Watch out for Harker Heights. I think they're another team that and Tyler. You know, they made the semifinals last year in a surprise fashion. So those are a couple teams, maybe not getting a lot of talk, but I think they're going to be very very tough outs.
Two others: Anna, Zyondre Williams. Mm-hmm. We've seen him light up 7-on-7 before.
I think they were a semifinalist or quarterfinalist last year.
Mm-hmm. They can do it, as well as College Station. Home field advantage.
They always do well.
Always do well. Yep, they always do well here. I would also throw in Argyle. Argyle's a team. McGuire, Gasperson, big time playmaker. I think we will learn a ton, especially about Argyle's defense and where they stand right now against what is a pretty high power pool as well with PSJ, North, Klein. Klein's going to be interesting, by the way, speaking of new coaches and kind of a new attitude there. So there it is, your Division I preview for the state 7-on-7 tournament. We move to Division II. This is, of course, teams that are Class 4A, 3A Division I, and small private schools, including Midland Christian. Mm-hmm. Got the same few questions here. First question, what is the Division II pool of doom?
I know what you're going to pick, and I'm not going to take it.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a different one. I'm going to go pool F.
Okay.
You want to talk about 7-on-7 pedigree. Graham and Hitchcock have quite a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Graham's got three titles. Hitchcock's won it in 2022-2023. You add in Waco La Vega, who played for the state championship in the fall. Jabari Thornton, the Oklahoma State commit at wide receiver, absolute stud. Courtney Parr at quarterback. Love La Vega. Hitchcock, Terrell Stinson, the stunning sophomore defensive back. Graham, a 7-on-7 mainstay. And you got Van Alstine, first ever state 7-on-7 appearance, but always a tough out there from the Texoma region. I love Pool F. I think Pool F is going to be a ton of fun.
You say you know what I'm going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the letter A.
It does start with the letter A.
Pool A is my pick. This feels like a layup, okay? Because I don't think this to me has both the advantages of being brand name and having absolute dudes within the bracket of the pool. You start with Bay City. Coming off of a year where I think that they feel like they've got something to prove coming off of last year.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
They were upset in the regional final last year. Yeah.
I think they've got an opportunity to start kind of a revenge tour here. Brownwood, loaded, excited to see what happens with this program that last year took some lumps as a young team. A lot of those guys are growing up.
New coach, new offensive system. Mm-hmm. How does that look?
Kilgore, coming off of a state championship from a game from a year ago.
Kilgore's one of those teams that we saw signs of what they could be last year at state 7-on-7 when they went all the way to the semifinals.
And then suddenly they show up in a state championship game at AT&T Stadium. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's not like they
Keelan
lost.
Graves is a stud.
Yeah, they lost Jaden Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
You don't replace guys like that. But Kaysen Brooks is back, right?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Graves. He's a dog. This team is really, really loaded for bear. And then, by the way, you add an Elston LBJ.
Always good at 7-on-7.
Always good at 7-on-7.
Always athletic.
Highly, highly speed for days. Mm-hmm. This LBJ team's going to be... This is like every one of those games is going to be a quality game.
And if you... Just because a team finishes fourth in this pool doesn't mean they can't make a run on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Ask Dumas about that last year.
Yeah. So you get hot at the right time, which is basically the next day.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up and have your breakfast.
There you go.
You can go on a run. All right. Give me your under-the-radar pool you're interested in.
Pool C. Mm-hmm. I really like Pool C. The aforementioned Dumas. Dumas last year went 0-3 in pool play. And then on Saturday, got hot and went 1-4 in a row and ended up in the championship game before they finally lost to Hampshire Finette. Dumas has been outstanding this summer. They're very, very good. They are always a team that makes a deep run at state 7-on-7. You got the Cuero Gobblers. You got the Demons and the Gobblers.
Spectacular.
Walker Dietz at receiver. 19 touchdown catches last year. A real matchup problem. China Spring looking to bounce back after a tough year. Showing some signs of that bounce back, getting to state 7-on-7. And then you got Paris. Paris is a high variance sleeper. They've got some dudes. Keshawn Henderson, Markeldrick Finch, out at Hudson Harper. Paris has got dudes. They are athletic. They can make plays. That the consistency is going to be the key for Paris. If Paris is consistent, they can make a lot of noise. I think Pool C is a ton of fun.
I think a real it's a real dudes rock pool.
We love that.
Pool B is a real dudes rock pool. Okay, you've got the conversation has to start around the defending state champs in Hampshire Finette.
Yes.
Now this team did graduate pretty heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to find a replacement, a quarterback for Ty Bryson, right? They lose Chris Augustine, their running back. They've got some other defensive players that are gone. But Pierce Pirtle, who's kind of their do-it-all.
That guy, he's a football playing jack.
He is just a football dude. He will be a lot of fun. I think their secondary has a chance to be really good with Malachi Adams kind of leading the way. Mm-hmm. We will learn a lot about Hampshire Finette and especially where they are in what is, let's call it an offensive reload, mm-hmm. where they are with them. But then you add in Little River Academy.
Swolebees.
I'm very excited to see them. Josh Mann, their wide receiver. Javion White. They've got dudes out there. You add in Kingsville King from South Texas. I think a real sleeper
They've
here.
They've got some dudes. Kingsville's got some dudes on the outside.
Christian Flowers, Demaryius Montgomery, John Kaysen. They've got guys. And then there's the little old Golden Tornadoes of Lamisa. Lamisa.
I love their young quarterback.
Yes.
The Ramos kid was a freshman last year and led them to a district championship. He can play.
They're the team that I think has an opportunity that if you like take a breath, you're like, oh, okay, we're not playing Hampshire Finette or we're not playing one of these heavyweights. They're the team that can be a problem. And they've got Celius McCurley outside. You mentioned Ramos, their quarterback. They're young, but I think they're ready. And this is, I always look at teams from kind of far flung areas of the state. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Coming to the big city of Bryan College Station.
It's a big opportunity for them, though.
Big opportunity in front of, in front of a lot of media.
Yeah.
And I think this is an opportunity that Lamisa is going to look. I'm really excited about this pool. Okay. So that was pool B. Give me your pick for a player you're excited to watch.
I think I'm going to go chalk here. Mm-hmm. It's Jalen Lott from Panther Creek. Like, he's so much fun to watch, and this is just an easy pick. I think he's just unbelievable.
He's electrifying. Yeah. He is absolutely electrifying.
Not gonna overthink this one here. Jalen Lott.
Give me Malik G at Chapel Hill.
Okay.
I think this is a really big year for Malik G. Because this is a Chapel Hill program that graduates a one of the best classes in school history.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. When you lose guys like Ricky Stewart with Demetrius Brisbane, Trevor Brooks, Jonah Reardon, you are having to reload. I think a lot is going to fall on Malik G to level up. I thought he was pretty darn good last year, right? He's got to be even better this year, mm-hmm. and I'm excited to see him as, like, I think the undisputed captain of this Chapel Hill team.
Yes.
And how he embraces it. To me, I want to see him throw the ball. More importantly, I want to see him lead his team.
Yeah.
That is one thing I'm going to be keeping an eye on here with Chapel Hill. So, I'm excited to see Malik G. All right. Give me the team we'll learn a lot about.
I think we're going to learn a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Stephenville. Oh. Breaking in new quarterback.
Okay.
Breaking in some young skill guys. I think, Stephenville is going to be really good in the fall, but I think we're going to learn just what their ceiling is going to be. I think if their young skill guys and their young QB emerge, then I think the ceiling is a state championship. Mm. I think you see some struggles, then maybe the ceiling is Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to learn about Stephenville and if they are a bona fide state title contender or if they're just a really good team.
I'm going to go a little off the board here.
All right.
We're going to learn a lot about Benbrook. Okay.
The Bobcats.
This is a team that I think surged onto the scene last year.
Yeah. Did you know Benbrook played on Thanksgiving weekend?
Played regional semifinal. 11-2. Mm-hmm. They were spectacular. They are having to replace some key guys. They do bring back the quarterback in Brennan Barton and their star wide receiver, or one of their guys that they feel like is going to be a big guy, in Deshaun Dean. A lot of this is going to be about handling expectations. And they're going to, this is now, Benbrook's no longer some darling. Okay. They're not some, hey, here's this program that you haven't thought about in quite a while that's surging on the scene. They're a known commodity. And they're also, I think, going into the teeth of a pretty tough pool here.
It's a balanced pool.
With West, with Hardin Jefferson, with Port Isabel, they're going to get tested early and often.
By China.
By China.
By China.
This is an opportunity for Benbrook to prove that last year is the new norm, mm-hmm. and that they've got an opportunity. They can go toe-to-toe with some heavyweights and really contend at the highest level. So I'm excited to see how it works. Okay. Give me your sleeper, your team that maybe people aren't thinking.
You were talking about them a little bit. I don't think people are talking about Chapel Hill enough.
Okay.
I think this is a team that could potentially win the entire tournament. They, okay. Their ceiling is winning the whole darn thing. You mentioned Malik G. They're outstanding wide receiver, Malik Brown, just I know picked up a couple of Big 12 offers recently. And they've got a guy, DeMarcion Blaylock, maybe the most fun player to watch the entire tournament. Go watch Chapel Hill game and watch DeMarcion Blaylock. That dude is special. He is freaky athletic. Chapel Hill is consistent. They can win the entire thing.
Sleeper, Lorena. Okay? Okay. Lorena brings back, they've got players in the spots you want to win at 7-on-7. Brody DeLeon, a two-way guy, right? Jackson Blancett, a guy who can play quarterback, can play defensive back. They've got a sophomore quarterback who's also a safety in Connor Johnson they really like. Mm. They got a huge tight end in Sloan Blackwell, 6'3", dude. Blackwell
is a freak show.
Who's going to be a problem.
Yeah, his older brother, I think, is at Baylor playing defensive tackle.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Lorena's had success at 7-on-7 before.
They made a run a couple of years ago. I don't know if they won it or got to the championship game. 2 or 3 years ago.
I think that they're a team that inevitably people are going to think about 4A teams, mm-hmm. but here's a Lorena team in 3A that
they're,
I think,
4A now.
Oh my God, they're 4A.
They moved up.
The line, the
they're in that La Vega, China Spring
right.
district. Yeah.
They
yeah.
did move up. That's right, because that district was formed because you had teams dropping down and teams mm-hmm. moving up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all that's to say, I think Lorena's got the goods, and I think they've got an opportunity to win it that people aren't talking about. Give me, though, there can only be one. Who's winning it? Who's winning Division Two?
Not overthinking this. I'm going back to the well. I'm taking Frisco Panther Creek.
Okay.
They had the best, to me, the two best players in Division Two, in Donovan Webb and Jalen Lott. And also got a great tight end in Parker Ard. So give me Frisco Panther Creek.
I'm not overthinking it either. Hampshire Finneco is back to back.
Okay.
Okay. I think last year set the blueprint. I think that they are, the way that they play, they have a style that is difficult to defend. I think they've got the dudes out there that can go out there and get it done if the quarterback spot has developed. Mm-hmm. This is really both my picks, Lake Travis and Hampshire Finette. Okay. Both of them is like, this is a referendum on where your quarterback situation is. If they got a quarterback, Hampshire Finette's got the defense to hold them in, I think they go back to back.
Okay.
That's my pick. All right, Matthew, one last to go. It is the smallest division, the Division III bracket. This is 3A Division II and below. Technically, six-man teams can't play here. We don't have a six-man team. Had one a couple years ago.
We've had Turkey Valley made it once.
Turkey Valley made it once. Let's start with your pool of doom. What is your pool of doom here?
Pool G.
Mm-hmm. I think that was going to be my pick, too.
Yeah. Albany needs no introduction. The pedigree that they have in the fall, but also they are usually a very good 7-on-7 team. Tidehaven, last year's runner-up, loaded this year. Boogie Galvan, if your nickname is Boogie, I know you can play. Wolf City, led by H.D. Davis, the Kansas State commit. And they've got like a 6'7" quarterback of their own. They've got like, where are these giant kids coming from these days? Wolf City in their first appearance at State 7-on-7. Love Pool G.
Good pick. Good pick. I'm going to go, that was going to be my pick, to be clear.
Okay.
My second pick was going to be Pool E. Okay. Well, you got Gunner, DeLeon, Ira Ann, and Natalia. Now, Gunner is a team that the defending champs in 11 man
and seven on seven.
Working in a lot of new pieces.
Yes.
Knox Gage, the new quarterback at the talented sophomore. We've heard a ton about him. Mm-hmm. We've never seen him. And so, or we've seen him sparingly kind of here and there.
But mop-up duty.
Never running the offense at full throttle.
His team.
This is his team now. We'll find out a lot about him. But DeLeon, I think, is loaded with some talent and some experience. They will look good in SQTs. Mm-hmm. Ira Ann is a team that I think impressed a lot of people in SQTs because of some of the teams they beat.
And they were throwing up some big numbers.
Yeah.
They were scoring 40 points a game.
Yes. And then you've got Natalia, who I think is first-timer at 7-on-7.
First-timer. This was the team yesterday. They won three games in their SQT. All three were in overtime. You just don't want to play a close game against Natalia.
Don't play against them. I think this has an opportunity to really be a fun bracket, especially a lot. Like, this is a pool that if Gunner's quarterback situation is what it's been in the past, they're, in my opinion, a clear favorite. Mm-hmm. But if they are still figuring things out, then it becomes a wide open, really fun pool.
Yeah.
So that's my pick. What is your under the radar pool?
It's only hard. There's only eight. Mm-hmm. They all have a case to be good. I'm going to go pool A. You got Poth.
Yes.
Major Luna. They've made deep runs in the past. Grapeland, last year, their first time at State 7-on-7, they really impressed. And they had a great fall. Grapeland is one of those teams that mm-hmm. When we saw them in 7-on-7, we're like, okay, this team's going to be really good. And it translated into the fall.
It did.
El Dorado has had some good runs in the past. And then Bosqueville, a first-timer, always a tough team in the Waco area. I like Pool A. I think it's going to be a very interesting pool in Division 3.
I'm very intrigued by Pool F. Pool F could be a lot of fun, okay? Tioga is a team that I think if you want to... We'll have a segment later about a team that you could learn a lot about. Mm. Tioga feels like a high upside team that this could be their coming out party. Mm. This could be their year. And they've got Jake David outside, who is a big time playmaker and explosive guy. Hamilton, the official team of this program.
That's right.
The Hamilton Bulldogs.
We graced Hamilton with our presence in week one, and they went 14-1.
Look, I'm not saying that we were directly responsible for them making it to the state semifinal. I'm just saying I'd never been to Hamilton before, and then suddenly... Yeah.
Those are facts.
I show up in Hamilton, Hamilton shows up in the state semifinal.
We ate at Storms.
Those are two things that happened.
The fact that we ate at Storms, too, I think just locked it in.
Anyway, they also have a 6'6 receiver.
Yeah, that helps.
You have Pierce Summers on the outside. Just throw the ball up. Just
throw it high.
Yeah, he'll be good. Kahoma was really good in state qualifying tournament
play. They were another team throwing up big numbers.
And then you add in Agua Dulce from down in along the South Texas
area. Yeah, yeah.
First time at 7-on-7. Mm-hmm. You never really know. Like,
be excited
like,
to be there.
Yeah, exactly. A real like wild card there. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they come and they're happy to be here and it doesn't go well.
They could be crazy guy in a fight.
Bingo.
Out of fight.
Exactly right. So I like Pool F a lot. Okay. Give me a player you are excited to watch.
Oh, this is easy. Give me Tarion Turbo Maxi for Trinity.
Yeah.
The 2027 athlete, 6'4", 175 pounds, and his nickname is Turbo. Like, come on.
Turbo?
Turbo.
Yeah. I love that.
Are you going to see a 6'6", 300-pound guy nicknamed Turbo? Probably not.
A real missed opportunity to name my kid Turbo.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat here, but it's in a nice way.
Okay.
The answer is H.D. Davis at Wolf City. Mm-hmm. The recent Kansas State commit, a guy who I think might be the best player in 2A. He's box office. He is going to be a lot of fun to watch there for Wolf City. I am going to couple that with the guy who's throwing to him. Okay? Mm-hmm. I am excited to see Noah Adams, their junior quarterback, who's
6'7" kid, right?
He's 6'7".
Yeah.
He's 6'7". And I just want to see how that works. Because Wolf City, let me tell you something. They already got Davis, and he's been their bell cow for years. Mm-hmm.
They can throw it.
If they can throw it, we're talking about them as not just a fun team, as a contender.
Yeah. If V&A was going to State 7-on-7, I would want her to get a picture with Wolf City's quarterback.
Yes,
just for the bit.
Who's the shortest person on our staff is going? Sierra.
Yeah. Well, let's get Sierra.
We'll get
and
Sierra.
Him.
It's either Sierra or Mallory.
Take a picture of the 6'7" kid. Just exactly for the bit. Right.
Okay, that is the player I'm playing.
Now I want to go to 7-on-7. This is all just making me want to be there.
Team will learn a lot about this week in Division 3.
Junction.
Ooh.
This is a team that had a great year last year, went all the way to the regional final, but I think they lost to Shiner. They lose a lot of guys. They graduate, especially at the skill spots, but they've got that guy at quarterback, Chasen Doyle, 4-year starter, returning. I think we're going to learn a lot about Junction, and if they can make a repeat run, depending on what their young skill guys, how they emerge and how they mature. But Chasen Doyle is the real deal at quarterback. Excited to see what Junction can do in a pretty good pool B.
I would need to run back the tape. There's a fair chance that I said the same team for the same thing about this team that I did last year, but for a very different reason. The Ganado Indians.
Okay.
Okay. The reigning 2A Division 1 state champs. The cupboard is not empty. Logan Burris, Austin Pena, John Utley.
They've got a young quarterback that they're really excited about. So I want to see what he looks like.
That is, for me, the million-dollar question.
Okay.
Is where's Ganado as far as a defending state champ with a lot of new pieces? If they come out, this is the team that, the perfect example of a team that, like, I have a baseline expectation for them. If they had overachieved that, I'm ready to hop on a train and be like, there's not going to be any let up here. You know what I mean? They've got some dudes. I want to see what they look like out there, and can they match maybe what they did last year? That's kind of the question.
Okay,
I have.
Love it.
All right. Give me your sleeper, a team that you think could win it.
No, I don't think enough people are... We're not talking about Tioga enough to win it. Like, Tioga could legitimately win this tournament. Zach Birdwell, that offense, they get cooking. They've had some great couple of years in the fall. I think they're ready for a breakout. The Tioga Bulldogs are my sleeper team.
Give me...
Tioga's a good pick.
Look at Brady.
They always make deep runs.
A team that's good, like there are programs that are just good at 7-on-7. Brady is good at 7-on-7. They've got a guy in Sean Jacoby, a two-way guy who's gonna be leading them the way. Again, a team that like maybe doesn't have that name brand recognition, but I think they could absolutely win the tournament.
And Brady's good. They were 8-3 last year, real fun.
Yeah,
so they're good.
They got some players.
Yeah.
Who is your pick to win the Division III tournament?
I'm going to go with last year's runner-up. Give me Tidehaven.
Okay.
The thriller from the killer. Tidehaven Tigers.
What?
Kale Russell, four-year starter at quarterback.
Ask us in final thoughts.
Okay. Yep.
Tidehaven Tigers.
Yes.
And they're going to have fun 7-on-7 uniforms.
They will.
No doubt about it.
Wait, did you say...
Coach Lucio loves a good bit.
The thriller from the killer.
Thriller from the killer. I thought you said throw-up from the...
Give me... You can go with Gunner, but I think they have more. We're going to find out more about them. It would not surprise me if Gunner won again.
Gunner would be the chalky pick.
Give me Lexington.
They got the best quarterback in the tournament. In the Division III.
Division III. They've got Case Evans.
They got that
guy. And sometimes that's enough.
And 7-on-7 for sure.
And they're by the way, it's not like it's just like him and like the Seven Dwarfs. Like they've got other guys out there who are going to be.
Case and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes. I think they are going to be a... I think they can do it because they've got that guy quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you've got Case Evans, you've got an opportunity.
And hey,
I'm not going to overthink it in that
and
way.
And they're kind of like College Station. They're the kind of local team. You know, they're not. I think Lexington to College Station is like 30 miles.
Yeah.
So they don't have to get hotel rooms. They can go back home and sleep in their own football beds. Yeah, they're getting their football onesie and sleep good.
Sleep good. Yeah. Exactly right. So there it is, your Division III.
My football
preview.
Onesie is a trap door.
Let's go over to Vianney Moreno to find out. Hey, Vianney, what'd you write down?
What was that last one?
His football onesie has a trap door.
Football onesie has
back.
A trap door.
Yeah.
So I can go to the bathroom.
Sorry, what's weird about that?
Yeah.
Like, we'll start off with that.
Functional.
Yeah, exactly. It's functional if you need it.
I'm sorry. 7-on-7 is the chips and salsa. Coaching school is the tequila.
It is. That's a good line. I got to be honest.
No, I can't hear Vianney.
Oh, you can't hear.
No.
She said the thing about. She said that chips. 7-on-7 is the chips and salsa, and coaching school is the tequila.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Very good.
Fair.
Dang. All right.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Let's. You're gonna have to repeat. You're gonna
I will.
Have to repeat. Pool of Doom. I like the Pool of Doom segments. Root for the Dons.
Oh, Root for the Dons. Yeah, the Dons. Amarillo Paladero Dons.
The Dons.
The Dons.
You need to Google their logo. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a very good logo. He's got the canes.
Yeah.
Dudes Rock Pool.
Dudes Rock Pool. Yeah, there we've had a couple Dudes Rock Pool.
You said I show up to Hamilton and they show up.
We show up to Hamilton. And then they show up in the state semifinal.
Oh,
that's science, guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's
we're a science
we're
podcast.
A science and journalism. We're a fact-based podcast. Just here.
Bold truth tellers.
Okay. And then finally, Thriller from the Killer.
You need to explain the Thriller from the Killer.
So Tidehaven, the community of Tidehaven is located in a town called El Maton.
El Maton.
Yes.
So the Spanish translation, I believe, loosely translates to...
The Killer.
The Killer.
Yeah.
And so their team, they call them the Thriller from the Killer.
Yeah, because Ty Havens and Elle Mottoln. I think you guys did say this before.
I think, we've said, I think we've said before, like maybe on...
We've talked enough about Tidehaven.
Yeah.
Elle Mottoln, Yes. I believe there's a loose translation. Yes. DNA, you'll have to correct me on that, but that's coach.
If only there was someone here who spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
If
only. Hmm. Yeah. Estoy aprendiendo español.
Anything else, V? We out?
We out.
TexasFootball.com/7on7 for everything wall-to-wall coverage of the 2025 State 7-on-7 tournament. We're full strength.
We'll see you at coaching school.
We'll see you at coaching school, baby. That's the next episode of Tap and Step. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Thanks to V&A Moreno for making us sound good.
Her courage.
And Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next month at coaching school.
Live from San Antonio.
Bye.
On Tap and Step. Bye.
I sound gross.